Would you please turn with me to Paul's letter to Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, 16, and 17. 15 through 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. May the Lord bless the reading of His Scripture and listening and also preaching. Paul begins in chapter 4, verse 1, and continuing through chapter 5, verse 16, verse 15, 14, can say, which is just our immediate context. So in chapter and a half, the Apostle Paul has been challenging the church concerning her walk before the Lord. Prior to our text, we can see five times we are commanded to walk. For example, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we are commanded to walk in humility. And again, in chapter 4, same chapter, verses 4 through 13, we are commanded to walk in unity. And the same chapter, verses 17 through 32, we are commanded to walk in separation from the world. And when we come to chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we are commanded there to walk in love. And finally, here in chapter 5, verses 3 through 14, we are commanded to walk in light. So we are commanded to walk in humility, unity, separation, love, and light. Now in our text, we are challenged to add to those five virtues the quality of wisdom. The word wisdom in our language, in English, not my native language, your language, in Urdu, it's very close to Hebrew, hukmah, hikmat. The word wisdom here, it means knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. In Scripture, it carries the idea of understanding the will of God as it is revealed in His Holy Scripture, coupled with the desire to live it out. So the call here is for believers, not only for the church at Ephesus, but for everybody this evening here, present here. The call is that we may yield to the Word of God in our daily walk. We are to hear His voice as it is revealed in His Word, then we are to live it out, that revealed will, moment by moment, every day. In this passage, Paul gives us some insights into what the walk of wisdom is supposed to look like. And we are going to consider that today. Let's look at these insights and learn what the walk of wisdom is and how we can activate it into our lives. This evening, I have three points, as usual, based on each verse. I think that's a smart idea to have 3 points. Not 4 are okay. Yeah. But it was wonderful. Thank you very much. It was a blessing this morning. Sometimes I have 5 points. That's no problem. But I have a sub-point. That may be 7 or 8 points. Don't worry. So, walking in wisdom or walk of wisdom, what does it mean? According to verse 15, first of all, it is a diligent walk. It is a diligent walk. Secondly, the walk of wisdom or walking in wisdom is discerning walk. It is a discerning walk. And third, based on verse 17, the walk of wisdom is a definite walk. Verse 15, the wise walk is clearly defined in verse 15. Paul calls upon to the church to look carefully, therefore carefully, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Paul is simply saying, walk not as foolish, but as wise. The very first of the verse, 15, in Greek is blapo, and is used as a verb imperative, present active, second person plural form. And many times in the Bible and out of the Bible, it is used in two different ways or in two different forms. It is used literally, the word look, and it's used metaphorically. The literal meaning of this word is to see, discern, perceive by the use of the eyes, to turn the eyes to anything, to look at, look upon, or gaze at. And metaphorically, the word used in the Bible is to see with the mind's eyes and to have understanding, to turn the thoughts or direct the mind to a thing or to consider or contemplate. Simply, the word look, see or look, means to observe. But the King James Version uses a different word, maybe a little old word. Maybe Pastor can help us. I know he always carries King James Version. In the King James Version, the word circumspectly, which carries the idea of being diligent, accurate, or precise. Therefore, the command is for us to give attention to the way we walk in this world, so that we walk accurately and precisely. If you have ever seen anyone walking on a tightrope, have you? I have seen. In Korea. And in Pakistan as well. I haven't seen somebody here. Can you walk? Can someone walk here in our church? Have you ever seen? If you have seen, then you know what Paul is referring here. The person on the tightrope watches where they place each step. And the slightest, a tiny deviation or inaccuracy in their footing would result in a definite fall. As a believer, we must give due diligence to every step we take in this world. To do less is to guarantee that we will fall into, not fall from salvation, but fall into the trap of the enemy. I would remind you that we have an enemy that is set on our destruction. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we are called and commanded to be sober and be watchful. Be sober, be watchful. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So our enemy He sets traps for us and waits to attack us to destroy our walk with the Lord. The reason Christians must walk in wisdom or walk a diligent walk is that they face furious and relentless spiritual opposition from Satan and his demons every day, every moment. You must not become indifferent to the reality or indulgent of sin, lest you become victims of the enemy. And you must be aware of that enemy. Instead, the realities of spiritual warfare every day, every moment, calls for watchfulness. Paul and Peter urge believers to be on the alert, an imperative command that means be watchful or stay awake. Like a hunter sets a trap to catch an animal, Satan does all he can to tempt us away from the place of safety and closeness to the Lord. He seeks to entice us into sin. If you are going to bait a deer, what would you do? If you are going to bait deer, you don't use dead fish. You have to use corn or apple or something else that is attractive to that animal. In the same way, Satan knows what is attractive to us, what we like. Like a hunter, he studies his prey and studies very hard. He studies harder than we study the Word of God. Satan studies us to see what we like, and he baits his traps accordingly. And you know, Satan is a very treacherous and very dangerous enemy. Yet the only reason he has only power at all to deceive and destroy us is due to the sin that dwells within us, in our hearts. As James says, we are drawn away of our own lusts. It is because of our own sin. Every time we fall into sin, it is only because we take the bait and fall into the devil's snare. So knowing the deceitful of enemy, if you know, knowing the deceitfulness of the enemy and the wickedness of our own hearts, Paul warns us to watch every step we take, because every step is filled with danger, especially in this world. Everywhere in the world, but especially in the West. Everywhere, Satan is everywhere, but I've seen. I visited one church somewhere, I remember maybe it was in Los Angeles, and somebody asked, what is the most difficult country for Christians to live? Maybe they were asking, maybe Pakistan. That's true. But I said, America. Everybody was astonished. Why? Yeah, maybe they think about, we think about a physical or external persecution. We don't think about soft and philosophical persecution, what's going on here in the West. So if we know that, it's very dangerous. And further in the second part of the verse 15, Paul counsels us. We are counseled to walk not as fools, but as wise. First, we need to be watchful. And secondly, we need to walk not as fools or unwise, but wise. We are not to walk like the world around us. How does the world walk around us? The world stumbles around us in the darkness of their depraved condition, and they take no heed to where the next foot will fall. I would urge you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we should not be blind. We should not be blind because we have been redeemed. We should not be blind because we have been made alive. We should not be blind because we have been given the Spirit of God. And we have been given the light of the Word of God. We should not stumble about like a blind man. But we have, because we have been equipped to walk accurately, placing each step precisely where it pleases the Lord and leads us to closer to Him. What a blessing it is to know that we do not have to fall for the deception of Satan. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, we can walk in wisdom and diligently. John reminds us in his first letter, chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, "But you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and you all know. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and know that no lie is of the truth." And we also know that our Lord has won the victory over Satan, and has made us wiser than Satan. He has given us all we need to be able to walk according to His will and His word and for His glory. Dear people of God, you are not fools. Christ has made you alive. Are you walking diligently? Are you walking wisely by watching every step you take every day? Walking in wisdom, or the walk of wisdom, is a diligent walk. And secondly, in verse 16, the walking in wisdom is a discerning walk. In verse 16, Paul is saying, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Making the most of time, because the days are evil. How do we understand this? We are to walk accurately, literally, diligently, perfectly in this world. But we are able to walk. We are also to walk with discernment. The Lord here says we are to be redeeming the time. Saying here, making the most of your time. The Greek word here, redeeming, is interesting. It means to buy up or deliver from loss. Actually, it was used in a Greco-Roman culture of purchasing a slave in order to make him free or set him free. And Paul, secondly, here, the word for time, the word which he uses, it's also interesting and important to know that. Making the most of your time. Paul did not here use chronos, the term which is for the clock time. He's not using that. He has used in different other places in the Bible, but he's not using that word for clock time, which means the continuous time that is measured in seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years. He's not talking about that. Rather, Paul uses the word here, kairos. The word he uses here is a word that speaks about a measured allotment of time, a limited or fixed time. that is a measured, allotted, or a fixed season. Paul is talking about the small window of time we have given. It's not talking about eternity. Though we will enter to eternity, but here, our walk on this world, on this earth. Paul is talking about the small window of time we have been given in this world. In other words, we are to deliver or redeem or buy up the fixed time we have been given in this world from the laws. How much time you have been given? How much time you have wasted? How much time do you have more? Lord knows. Hope a lot. This phrase speaks about our walk with the Lord, and it challenges us to make good use of every opportunity for serving the Lord. In a similar manner, Peter says in this way, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on the earth. Conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. He's talking about the same idea, the fixed time allotted. The Lord has determined the boundaries of our lives. We will not live 1 minute more or 1 minute less than the time we have been allotted by the Lord. We have a fixed time. We have a short time. In Psalm 39, verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. Is this our prayer? Do we pray this life? And do we know that our days are short? Napoleon once said, there is in the midst of every great battle a 10 to 15 minutes period that is too crucial. And that is the crucial point of the battle. 10 to 15 minutes. A short, fixed time. And then he said, take that period and you win the battle. Lose it and you will be defeated. When we walk accordingly, obediently, in the narrow ways of the gospel, we walk carefully, making the most of our time. We take full advantage of every opportunity to serve God. As Barry was talking, that was a great opportunity. Don't we have that kind of opportunity every day? We do. We walk carefully, making the most of our time. We take the full advantage of every opportunity to serve God, redeeming our time to use for His glory. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I have been given a short window of time to live in this world. At best, our lives are a vapor, James said. And we are here according to Job chapter 14, verse 1. We are here just for a few days. We need to make the most of every opportunity we are given to serve the Lord. Therefore, I want to urge everyone here this evening, take the time to pray, take the time to worship, take the time to share the gospel, and take the time to read the Bible. Take the time to honor the Lord every minute, every day. And further, Paul gives us reasons why we have to be careful about our time which we are given, why we have to make the most use of the time. He gives us reasons there in the same verse, the last part of verse 16. The reasons for redeeming the time, Paul tells us that we should redeem the time we have been given. We need to use every opportunity we are given to serve the Lord, because the days are evil. Because days are evil. Are they? It's a beautiful day. Yes. Maybe many people, maybe when in Pakistan or India or in South Asia, in a very third world countries, they think, wow, yeah, life in America is wonderful. It is. It is. And they don't know about that. The same thing, the Satan is everywhere. And the same days, there and here, they are evil. Not only today, but from Paul's day, even before. The days are evil. The reasons we have to make most of our time, because the days are evil. The Greek word evil actually comes from the same word that gives us our word pornographic. Here, the word comes from Greek, it's from pornographic. That means the days are wicked, evil, and filled with every kind of sin. God has placed us here to be the light to the world, trapped in darkness. So we are His, and also Paul tells us, as the days are evil, we are not in a good place or a good situation. But at the same time, Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, tells us that we are His ambassador. We are Christ's ambassador. He has given us a window of time in this evil world to serve Him, walk for Him, and bring glory to His name. And here, we need to understand two important things. So we, as we walk through the world, we need to understand and recognize two important things. First is, we have to understand, we have to be able to see evil around us. We have to perceive. We have to see. That's why the first word we talked earlier, look, be careful. We have to understand how the evil world is. And secondly, we have to understand the opportunities the Lord has given us to serve Him. That's why we are to redeem those opportunities in order to make our lives count for God's glory. Therefore, the walk of wisdom, walking in wisdom, is a discerning walk. It is a diligent walk, and it is a discerning walk. My third point is, walking in wisdom, or walk of the wisdom, is a definite walk. In verse 17, Paul says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be foolish, or do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Finally, Paul says, do not be unwise, but understand. Do you understand? How do we understand? The phrase, do not be foolish, actually repeats and reinforces Paul's previous plea for believers not to be unwise. In verse 15 and 16. And now, understand what the will of God actually expands and makes more clear His plea to walk wisely. How we are to walk wisely. light of the urgency to make the most of our time. Not being foolish includes, among other things, and many other things, such as becoming anxious or panic. When we look around at the pervasiveness of evil, do you know what happens? How do we react? And when we look at the unending need for evangelism and the service to others in Christ's name, it is easy to be overwhelmed. It is very easy to be overwhelmed. Then what happens? Sometimes we are tempted either to give up and withdraw, or to become hyperactive, losing precision and purpose and effectiveness in a fury of superficial activities. The proper sense of the urgency, however, drives the wise believer to want more than ever to understand what the will of the Lord is. Because he knows that only in the Lord's will and power can anything good and lasting be accomplished. We cannot do anything by ourselves. Only in his power and according to his will. Believer will not be foolish. We should not be foolish by running crazily in every direction trying to see how many programs and projects we can become involved in. But we need to remember, trying to run ahead of God only puts us further behind in his work. Sometimes we are, especially technology. Seen that the church I served in the past in Korea. So many programs, lights here, colorful. Not that way. But if we are not careful, we will fall into the trap of busyness. Here, a very good book by Bill Hybel. Though I may not be fully agreed with his theology, but a good book, I think it is in our library as well. Thank you for keeping that. I studied that in Korea long ago. We can fall into the trap of busyness. That book is Too Busy Not to Pray by Bill Hybel. Too Busy Not to Pray. We run here and there with our calendars, and especially these days with our smartphones, our schedules, thinking we have to do all those things for ourselves and for others. We show we are very busy. We are serving the Lord. We allow ourselves to get so busy doing all the things we do that we do not have the time to enjoy the Lord who saved us. Therefore, instead of running through life like a fanatic, we are counseled to be understanding. We are counseled to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. But how do we know? How do we understand what the will of the Lord is? What is the will of the Lord? The basic answer is that we find the will of the God in the principles taught in the Holy Scripture, the Bible. The Word of God reveals the will of God, actually. We have to slow down long enough to read the Word of God, to meditate on it, and to understand it. We must take time for the Bible, or we will let the moment of our lives slip through our fingers. Think of how foolish we are in this matter. How foolish we are in this matter. We send our kids to schools in an effort to help them learn, but we do not take the time to teach them the book written by the wisest being or wisest author in this universe. I'm not saying that we should not send our children to school. I send. We tried to homeschool, but it was hard. I always tell, in order to homeschool our children, I should be schooled. First, I need to be schooled. It's hard. Yeah, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it would be a shame for us to send our children from our home to a college to be educated in the wisdom of men if they left our home ignorant of the Word of God. Though they get degrees, PhDs, it will be shame for us if they left our homes ignorant of the Word of God. We strive to learn all sorts of things, growing in our knowledge, while we do not take the time to learn from the fountain of all wisdom, the Bible, and the Lord Himself. And you know, the lack of biblical knowledge in the average home and the church is astonishing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God has given us His Word. And that Word is without error. It is infallible. It is inspired. It is eternal. And it is food for our souls. When we read the Bible, we are exposed to the very mind of God Himself. We need to read it much and read it more oftenly. We need to be people of the book. I know Muslims especially claim Ahle Kitab. The people of the book, they always say, yeah, we are the people of book. How do we honor? How do we respect this book? We need to be the people of book. Knowing its author, not only having a book, but knowing its author. So here is a very good book, and again, by J.I. Packer, Knowing God. That was the very first book I was given by my professor in the seminary. That was the first book I have, theological books I have seen and read by J.I. Packer, Knowing God. Not only to be a people of book, but knowing its author, the author of the book, intimately, and understanding its message clearly. There's no excuse for any believer who owns a Bible. Do you own Bible? If anybody owns a Bible and who can read it, but is being ignorant of the Word of God, I can understand that in the context of Pakistan and India, my own father is illiterate. He cannot read the Word. But it doesn't mean that there's an excuse for him to be ignorant of the Word of God. How many people here have the Bible? How many versions of the Bible do you have? How many colors of the Bible do you have? But if we are ignorant of the Word of God, there's no excuse for anybody here and anywhere. And we should know that it is the ignorance of the Word of God that explains the problems we have with us or with sin. And it is ignorance of the Word of God that explains the problem we have in our relationships with others. And it is the ignorance of the Word of God that explains why our churches are empty of life and dying on the vine. We need to repent of our neglect of the Word of God and pick up our Bibles and read. It will give us peace, hope, help, strength, and wisdom to walk wisely. It will help us to know the God of heaven, and knowing the God of heaven and knowing Him will teach us how to walk in this world and how to walk according to His will. And also knowing Him will teach us how to make every life count for His glory. Dear people of God, do you have a Bible? Read it. Love it and live it. Your Bible will keep you from being spiritually brainless and barren. It will make you wise in the ways of the Lord, and it will open your eyes to the schemes of the enemy we've been talking. Therefore, the Bible will reveal to you the will of God for your life on earth and the life to come. I want to conclude with this several questions as well, Pastor. I will close with a couple of questions. How is your walk with the Lord? How is your walk with the Lord? Are you walking in wisdom or are you walking in ignorance? Secondly, how is your relationship with the Word of God? Do you read it? And do you live it? May the God of heaven help you to do so. Let's pray. Lord God, King of heaven and earth, please guide your people with kindness and govern us with love. Guide us the spirit of wisdom. Give us the spirit of wisdom and help us our daily walk in this world. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.